Hello and welcome to Zero Hour. This is Tim Bowring. Today's show is one of an ongoing series that explores Richmond's thriving art scene and the people that make it happen. Over the past 10 years, Richmond's cultural art scene has been quietly growing, attracting numerous talented artists with national and international reputations. Twice a month, on the first and third Mondays, we'll sit down at a Richmond cafe and have lunch with one of these artists. Conversation is live and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Today we're having lunch with Virginia Samsel. Virginia, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We're going to talk a little bit today about something that really is literally off the wall. Virginia, why don't you tell folks how this idea got started? Obviously, in Richmond, this is coming to us through VCU School of the Arts, where you graduated.
I graduated in 2004.
Okay, so a couple of years ago in painting, sculpture?
Painting, sculpture minor.
Okay. But anyway, this is a really interesting idea. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about it?
Well, the show that we're talking about, it's a kind of different style art exhibition. It's called I Mean, Come On, Fluff My Pillow. And
I like that. I Mean, Come On, Fluff My Pillow.
It was a combination of two titles we've been working
good.
With.
It's good.
But basically what it is a hotel show. We go to the Inns of Virginia, 50s style, late 50s style architecture. Hotel.
Oh, that's the name of the place.
It's called the Inns of Virginia.
Oh, okay.
It used to be the old Inns.
I thought you were saying you went to 50 Inns in Virginia.
No.
Okay.
It used to be.
So that's that place, that wonderful old place out on Broad Street.
Broad Street. It used to be the Executive Inn, and it was bright aqua, and I loved it.
And aluminum and...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was great.
So you remember it from your childhood?
I do remember from my childhood.
I
stay at that hotel.
It's right in front of that Crinkle building.
Yeah.
Or whatever that thing is.
Yes. The Reynolds Wrap looking
place.
Yes,
right, exactly.
So basically what it is a couple of years ago I was taking a class at VCU that was called Artists as Curators. Mm-hmm. Mark Harris was a visiting artist at the time, and he was posing the question to us, Why aren't art exhibitions more exciting when art itself has so much going on and performative aspects and installation?
When you say art exhibitions, you mean the actual space?
The space.
Why are we restricted to white walls, spotlights?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for
the
obvious
cube.
Reasons, but yeah, the cube,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Basically, we were responding to that question. And
so you were... I'm really going to say this. You guys were thinking
yes,
out of the box.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I get it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So responding to that question, the class kind of broke up into groups, or we were in kind of curatorial groups.
Right.
There were five groups, and throughout the semester, we were working in different spaces. Just kind of putting together.
What kind of spaces?
We'd be using areas in the Fine Arts Building at VCU to put together groups of things that weren't necessarily curating art, but we were curating things.
Right. Okay.
So at the end of the semester,
but just using alternative spaces, like a hallway, like
or
a stairwell,
just alternative, like, not necessarily alternative spaces, but alternative ideas to curating. So that you know, it could be just as varied as like curating postcards that your friends send you, like ask somebody to send you something from where they are, and you're not just going around to people's spaces and like, I want this and this, mm-hmm. and this will look good. And
so it sort of started out with you know, why does curating have to be so boring?
Why does exhibition have to be straightforward? You know, why can't it be something else?
Right.
Why can't it be art also?
Uh-huh. Why can't the actual process be an artistic process?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that process becomes creative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, which I think is really important with a lot of artists end up doing curatorial things in some way or another, such as like Heidi Trepanier, you know, is a really good example of running Orange Door Gallery and herself being an artist.
Right. You know, she did. She ran a gallery on Broad Street. When Broad Street was Broad Street, not something out of New York City now in First Fridays. Yeah, and she had that gallery called the Orange Door, which was...
So this is kind of taking it a little bit further, where it's what the show actually is. So, I Mean, Come On, Fluff My Pillow is that year we took three rooms, three of the sleeping rooms, and put together work for the rooms.
So three of the hotel rooms.
Three of the hotel rooms.
Okay.
Housed shows, housed exhibitions.
Okay, and so this wasn't like, just you went in and switched the paintings on the walls?
No. In some cases, people were replacing the hotel art with other art, but we use everything that's still in the, like, we keep everything in the room. We don't clear them out. The beds are still there. The chairs are still there.
So the artist has to work with all of that.
Yeah, you have to work with all the things that are in there. We can't, there's no place we can take them.
Right.
So,
well, you're just renting the room.
Yeah, we're literally just visiting.
So you can't go in there and knock holes in the wall.
No, none of that. Right. So the first year, some of the things that happened were one of the rooms was used kind of as a vignette where a person was actually curated into the room. That group chose a person and was like, here's what you're going to do. Here's the project. So it was,
so what would that person do?
He was what they instructed him to do is pretty much like live in the room.
I think I remember.
Live in the room, yeah.
Was this a sort of a shirtless guy?
He wasn't shirtless, but it was just like kind of undershirt.
Sitting around being in a hotel room.
Yeah. And,
could people come in or did they look through the window?
No, you were just looking through the window. It's just a vignette.
So how did you know you weren't just looking at some salesman after work?
Well, it was the curtains were open. The lights were set up so that it was...
Oh, so it was lit.
It was lit.
Okay, so it was more intense.
Yeah, there's a lot that went into it. Okay. So in other rooms, people were replacing the hotel art or setting up installations in the bathroom where it's kind of interactive pieces with, like, the toilet or...
interactive with the toilet?
Okay. Yeah. The group that I was with, we made kind of a portable show where we had two viewfinders, so we had two separate shows.
Oh, okay.
Like, the one person I was with did her show, and I did my show.
Where were the viewfinders?
They were just set on the table in one of the hotel rooms, so you could come in and...
All right, so you walk in, and it looked like a normal hotel room.
Yeah. Well, we shared it with a couple other groups, so there were some other things going on in that room. But, so on the side table were a couple viewfinders, so you could click through and look at
them. So those are like the ones that, as a kid, I used to look at the presidents at, you know...
Dinosaurs
and...
Disney stories, things
like
that.
Yeah, but was it 3D? Did it get a 3D effect?
It got a 3D effect. It wasn't exactly what you wanted, but it was the effect I worked for mine because I was using two-dimensional work. Mm-hmm. So it was like all I was really worried about was getting some shadows, and I was working with our curated paintings into a little viewfinder. So.
Okay. All right. It's cool.
Yeah. So that was the first year, and the other part...
How many folks showed up the first year, you think?
The first year, probably... around 100 people showed up.
Really?
Yeah, like came and went. It's from 6 to 9.
What do you think the reaction was? Did they...
People really seemed to enjoy it. People had a really good time. There were other things that were going on that weren't really part of the exhibition that we were working on.
Uh-huh.
There were some art cheerleaders that had come and were doing cheers by the pool.
Were the cheerleaders, they were not connected?
They were not. They were, they're friends, sort of? But they weren't they weren't in the class. They weren't something that was really... planned.
So, do you happen to remember any of the art cheers?
I did not watch them.
Give me an A. Give me an R. Give me a T.
What's that spell?
Art. Yay! Everybody jump in a pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, art cheerleaders with orange skirts, polo shirts, all that kind of stuff.
It's good.
You know.
I wonder if there are going to be any art cheerleaders there this year. Probably not.
They weren't there last year. Yeah. I think that it was kind of a
one-shot deal.
One-shot. School spirit, senior year sort of thing. It was fun. And then there's karaoke. There's always karaoke
yes,
at the bar.
Yes, okay. So if you're, you know, if you're sort of vaguely interested in the arts and you want to come see something that's really sort of different and fascinating and certainly not like, you know, going to the Virginia Museum or to any of the galleries in town, you can come to this show. I just want to take a break for a sec. This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us, and we're talking with Virginia Samsel about a hotel art show. And tell me about what happened a couple of years ago. It went from 3 rooms to 8 rooms.
It went from,
And I think there were more schools involved. Is that right?
Yeah. Last year, the person who had set everything up, switched schools. He's now the head of the University of Cincinnati's art program, and his wife is at Ohio State University. So they kind of put together a couple groups of students and came out for the show last year, which was...
I know this is kind of silly, but how did they get here?
They drove.
Did they drive?
They drove the 10 hours from Ohio.
Yeah. And they brought all their insulation
they brought
stuff with them?
They kind of worked with the space when they got there. So things weren't necessarily set up with exactly what they were going to do.
Okay.
But they had a basic idea just from like the general, you know, description of what it was the year before.
Now, are these graduate or undergraduate?
Some were graduates and some were undergraduates.
Okay.
So it's nice to have, I think it's nice to have a
combination. What did they say about it? What was their take? Did you get a sense of their take?
They really had a good time.
They really liked it?
They're coming back this year.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. They seem to really enjoy it. And I think they were kind of surprised.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed almost surprised that it was something coming out of Richmond, which
I don't,
you know, it's all right. So.
Right. So the show this year, there's going to be 19 rooms.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many artists involved?
I don't know how many artists. About six schools, possibly a seventh, who's kind of a surprise guest. But with VCU, we're at probably at least over 20 people involved just with VCU.
Just VCU, wow.
Yeah, and I think from Ohio State, about 30 people are coming
out. And VCU, what departments are involved?
Kinetic imaging, sculpture, painting, a couple people from crafts, some people from photography, and then a few recent alumni.
Right, okay. And what's going to be what is going to be different about the show this year? Is there going to be anything different? I mean, do you find that having a show in a hotel room tends to liberate or tends to confine what you're able to do?
I feel like a combination of the two. Like,
uh-huh.
It's a space. I think it's a challenge for the artist because you have to work with the things that are in there. You have to work with the space. You can't knock a wall out and put something in. You can't put holes in the wall. You have to work with what's there. Like, if you want to hang a piece up, there are two nails in the wall where the painting, you know, where the art pieces for the hotel already are, and that's where you can hang.
Right.
So, but at the same time, you're not trying to necessarily please any, you know, it's like you're, I think you can work for yourself.
Right.
I think that's what a lot of people are able to do with this, is make things that they might not consider.
Do you know going into this what the pieces are going to be, or
some of the pieces I've discussed with people what the basic plans are, but I like to let people kind of have freedom with what's going on. So.
Yeah. So when the show actually comes up, it's a sort of a surprise to you as well as the artists and the people coming to see it.
I think so. Which I think it's nice to have a bit of spontaneity and not knowing exactly if everything's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit stressful, but it definitely makes it more exciting. So.
Well, how do you curate this? I mean, do you you know, most art shows there are slides and that kind of thing are sent in, and you know, a bunch of serious people sitting in a dark room look at slides all day. How do you curate a show like this? How do you decide who's going to be in it?
I snoop.
What do you mean?
I take a look at work. Like, if people have work up somewhere for a critique or something, I'll poke my head into crit rooms. I'll kind of ask around, like, faculty who are familiar with the show, if they know anybody.
So who has work that would work in a hotel room?
Yeah, who has work that would work, or who is flexible enough, or is kind of doing interesting things.
Uh-huh.
You know, who's really...
So what are some of the interesting things you've stumbled on?
Some of the interesting things include kind of like working with fabric, like replacing the comforter with a new fabric and kind of almost
sort
a Princess P kind of
layered,
stacked.
Right.
Another piece is Jared Clark does stacking pieces, and he's going to use what we've talked about is using the actual hotel furniture to create one of these pieces.
What do you mean, like stacking?
Like stacking
tables,
the loose chairs,
like
tables, lamps.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
He does stacking pieces?
He's done suitcases, like making like a wall of suitcases that like fit perfectly into the space.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I think pretty much taking whatever isn't tied down.
Yeah. Well, now let's, it sounds interesting, different, fun, but what separates this from sort of, you know, kind of a fun, silly sort of thing and really making serious art, or is there such a separation? I mean, I guess I'm coming at it from the perspective of people who don't have much of an arts background, and it's like, you know, they're listening, going, well, that doesn't sound like art to me.
Well, the people that are participating really do take this seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are traveling across the country to do this. It's not, you know, it's not just...
But how would you translate that to somebody who's listening? How do you translate? I mean, do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, this is not a normal thing that, that people, you know, like people don't get up in the morning and go, I think what I'll do is stack furniture in a hotel room, and that's a serious... That's something I do seriously in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that about? How do you get somebody to understand that?
I think it's hard. I think it's you have to figure out what the other people like themselves. You know, some people do kind of ridiculous things anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's just what drives you, I think. So
really,
I don't know.
Yeah, that kind
of stacking things in hotel rooms. But you know, not. I think you don't have to. That's the part that I kind of want to.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where people look, you know, I was thinking about calling this radio show, actually. You know, you see people walk into a museum and see expressionist work or something, and, you know, and they look at it, and, or a splatter painting or something, and they look at it and they go, well, God, I could have done that. And I was thinking about calling this show, well, I could have done that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, if you don't have a background in the arts, and part of the show is to try to help people understand, you know, what makes this worth doing? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, why do this? What's this about?
You know, it's interesting. Like, I've thought about that before, but it's really hard to put it into words. Like, for me, I have to do it. Like, I'm not happy if I don't. It's it's something that I really enjoy doing. I enjoy the stress that comes with it. I enjoy being disappointed, actually. You know,
disappointed in what?
Well, like, if you know, trying for something and maybe not making it, but it motivates you to work harder. And
right.
So, it's a hard question to answer. Like,
I mean, do you see it as a creative process? Do you see it as an expressive process? Do you see it as a rote process? I mean, what?
I think it depends on the artist. Mm-hmm. I think that art can be rote, art can be creative, or you know, just expressive, or just more conceptual-based pieces, I think, can be just as valid, just depending on if there really is something backing it up.
Yeah.
I think with anything, you have to be able to back it up.
I mean, I think I intuitively understand why it would be interesting to do this, you know, to do a show in a hotel. I think on some level, or I wouldn't be doing this radio show. On some level, intuitively, I get it immediately. It's like, that's really interesting, different, and creative. But I also think there are a lot of people who look at something like this and go, these people are nuts. You know?
Well, it's just as nuts to do it in a gallery, really.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. Or, I mean, you know, how sane is it to get up and go to the same job every day for 30 years? I mean, just you know, take a look at that one,
you're
folks.
You're not happy.
You know, really. So. How sane is that? You know, so that you can, you know, go out and run up bills and pay them. I'm not sure that's any saner. But it does come up. I mean, people look at this. And look at artists, and you know, I know a lot of artists, and I don't think any of them are particularly crazy. Or, as a matter of fact, the ones that are successful are very disciplined and hardworking, and very serious about what they're doing.
Well, it's a job. It's your career. It's your business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the important thing, I think, is that people really need to take that into consideration. Is that when you're an artist, it's your business,
right.
And you should treat it as such. You shouldn't, you know, you can be a little crazy, whatever, in your art, but
right.
You still need to understand how selling yourself works.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, let's see. When is this show?
The show this year is Wednesday, May 10th.
Okay. Wednesday, May 10th. At what time?
The art exhibition is from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And then from 8 until late, there's karaoke in the bar.
So somehow karaoke fits this well.
It's a very performative thing.
Right.
Some of the faculty get up and sing. You know. Do duets with some of the students. It's a good time. It's kind of a nice, relaxing end of the semester.
It's interesting, sort of karaoke. Maybe I'm probably passé already, but karaoke has become sort of hip, or maybe it's already become hip and it's not hip anymore. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know.
I still think it's fun.
Because for a long time, you know, it was like, you know, you go into a place and if it said they did karaoke, you just kind of watched your watch to make sure you got out of there before it started. It's interesting the way that those things get started and then catch on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything else about the show that you want to tell
I'd
us?
I'd like to mention like the schools that are coming, just to let people know how broad it's gotten. VCU, of course, is participating. Ohio State University. University of Cincinnati, San Francisco Art Institute, Columbia College, Chicago, University of New Mexico, and then we have a surprise guest of University of Indiana might be showing up. So, which I think is really nice to have that spontaneity of somebody wanted to show up and we didn't get in touch with them soon enough, but they're still coming.
They're still coming. Yeah. Spontaneous kind of thing. Other kinds of curatorial things, because it was interesting when we started this conversation, you were talking about, you know, curating being a creative process too, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, we got a room, we got four walls, we got white paint, let's show some art.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the other things you've done curatorially that have been interesting?
Well,
to you?
What's one thing that I worked on for about 2.5 years when I was in school, I was a founder and director, a curator, whatever, of Locker 50B.
Okay. What's Locker 50B?
Locker 50B.
Is that like an alien landing site?
No. It's in the Fine Arts Building on the third floor, which is the painting floor. There are all these storage lockers that line the walls, and it's where people keep their paint, their turpentine, all this stuff.
Oh, so they're like little cubby hole?
They're
kind
little
of thing?
Cubby things. They're got doors and
metal
locks.
Doors
they're
on
just
them
kind of not the regular locker shape that most people, I think, are used to.
Yeah, but like a, I don't know, like.
They're about 14 inches, 12 inches wide, 14 inches tall.
Oh, okay.
About
right,
19
okay.
inches. Deep, so it's pretty deep, really.
Right.
I mean, as a
locker curator, you're speaking that this is a relatively deep
it's
space.
It's more space than people think there is.
Right.
So, but what happened with that was I was working on a small scale. I still do, but I was keeping all of my work in my locker. Like, so if somebody came by to look at something, I would be like, oh well. It's over here, and I take them to my locker and open it up and show them all my
work. When you say small scale, what were you making?
Some pieces were as small as, like, 2 by 2 inches.
What were they of, like?
Some of them were on Shrinky Dinks.
What's a Shrinky Dink?
Shrinky Dink, it's plastic that you, you know, paint or draw on, and then you put it in the oven and it shrinks up.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's a lot of craft materials.
Uh-huh.
Or it'd be fabric materials that I could fold up, so I'd have, like, a 12-foot by 12-foot
I mean, were they representative images or were they abstract?
There'd be like bunnies
and
happy things.
All right, so
chairs.
happy chairs.
Happy chairs, bunnies, little, you know.
Okay, so small things.
Small
and you kept
things.
Them in your locker.
I kept them in my locker, and that's how I was showing people when they'd, you know, ask to see some of my work. I'd be like, well, it's in my locker. Let me go get it. You know, they'd be kind of surprised, all your work's in your locker. Yeah, this is everything I've made all semester.
Right here in my 12 by 14 by 19 locker.
Yes, exactly. And so I kept getting the joke, it's like a little gallery, and kind of get tired of jokes after a while. My name's Virginia, and I live in Virginia, so I usually try to do something about it. And so over spring break, I put in wood floors, white walls, and lighting. And began curating
shows.
What
did you make the wood floor out of?
The first year it was just out of balsa wood, and then we stepped it up the next year.
Whoa.
And got some lathing from
oh, really?
A dollhouse store and
all
made
right.
some nice planking.
Planking,
so,
great.
You know, I would sit there stain the wood and treat it and everything like that.
And wait a minute, and you were curating shows in there?
I was curating shows in there. At first, the first year it was every 3 weeks, because I was like, it's a small space, but just because it's small doesn't mean it's easy.
Right. Yeah.
So,
Other people's work was going in there?
Other people's work was going in there. I showed a couple of times.
How did you operate the lights? Was there some kind of switch or something?
The first year it was like just one of those touch lights.
Okay.
Like the first couple of months. And then, in the fall of 2003, I believe it was, I guess 2002, the fall of 2002, we put track lighting in. I started working with, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
where did you get track lighting to fit
that?
Well,
we got LEDs. We got some white LEDs, which they had just kind of come out with recently. And I was working with Llewellyn Hensley, and she helped me put together fix up the gallery where I did the floors, and she put the lighting in. We had it rigged so there was a battery system in the top locker, like the locker above it,
like
the upstairs storage space. And then we had wiring that came down. There was a mat you could step on.
A mat on the floor in front of it. So you step on the mat and the lights come on?
And we had,
put
a plexiglass front.
What was your favorite show?
My favorite show? That's hard. There were a lot that I actually really liked. The first show, it was just kind of such a novel thing, and people really, really worked for it. And you know, I mean, they came up with things where it was stuff that people already had, but somehow it worked out. And it was the it was the largest show that we had in there. There were 14 people showed in the Locker Gallery at the first show.
Wow.
It was Primer.
Well, let me just break off here for a sec. This is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR, 97.3 FM, Indie Radio, radio for the rest of us. And we're talking about curating, but curating in terms of it being a creative act as opposed to just, you know, four white walls and give me some paintings. And we're talking with Virginia Samsel, who's actually curating and helping to put together a show that's going to be on May 10th. At the Inns of Virginia on Broad Street. What's the address?
5215.
5215. You know that right in front of that big crinkle building, that
Reynolds Wrap
round thing. I'm sure you know where it is now if you live in Richmond. Exploring different ways of going about curating things. And we were just talking about curating shows in a locker in the art school. Any other interesting curatorial?
Not so much. I also worked in regular gallery spaces. Like I was a gallery assistant at the Anderson Gallery, and I did the student art space also. It's not like I'm just coming up with crazy ideas to put art in places that aren't normal. But I'm coming at it from knowing how things should be done, but wanting to change them a little bit.
Right.
So I think having the traditional experience also really helps with doing non-traditional work.
Do you think of this at all in terms of public art?
There have been things that I've considered, that are similar to the Locker Gallery that I've definitely considered that would be more public, where it's more like peep show style, be able to walk by and just like open something up and take a look at an art show.
Sort of like Duchamp's piece. What is that piece?
What it's called.
I just saw some of his work up in D.C. It's always so astounding to see that work, isn't it? I mean, you see pictures of it for years and years and years, and then you walk in a room and there it is. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's something as silly as his bicycle thing, you know, it's still amazing. Well, let's see. Tell me about what kind of work you're working on right now. We're getting kind of short on time, but I would be interested in hearing about what you're doing personally as an artist.
For the past few years, I guess pretty much since I've been working on, really consider myself an artist, I've been, most of my imagery is kind of a happy looking, or bright colors are very happy looking, but it's not necessarily happy all over.
Right.
So my imagery for the last few years has been like a combination of like cats and volcanoes. Or like natural disasters and then throw in some cats.
Natural disasters and rainbows, right?
Yeah, exactly. Natural disasters and rainbows.
Right.
That should be
That should be a show. Yeah. Natural disasters and rainbows. It really could be. Well, listen, unfortunately, we're just about out of time here. Tell me again when this show is going to be.
The show is Wednesday, May 10th from 6 to 9, and then karaoke from 8 to late in Arthur's Bar.
And it's at Inns of Virginia, which is on Broad Street, just west of Willow Lawn, and directly in front of the Crinkle Rental Wrap Round Building, whatever that's called. And there's no fee. I mean, you can just come, and there's going
to
be 19 rooms of Let It Rip kind of stuff.
At least 19 rooms I don't even know what.
We don't even know what. And there's a swimming pool there. I don't know if you can use it. But
I don't know. It might be open, but
who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I won't tell anyone if you jump in.
If it's not open, you can skateboard in it. Well, listen, thank you very much, Virginia, for sharing this and sharing your take on curatorial kinds of things in Richmond. There's certainly a lot going on in this town. I want to thank you folks for tuning in and listening. And I hope you've enjoyed this lunch. Well, and we look forward to seeing you on the radio every first and third Monday of the month at 12:30. And again, this is Tim Bowring, and you're listening to WRIR 97.3 FM Indie Radio. It's radio for the rest of us.